It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and this week we are talking about a subject that's very personal to me, something I struggled with for years in my life, and that's the subject of depression. I'm teaching from a book that I wrote called Breaking Free, A Biblical Journey Through Depression, and it's available on Amazon.com. So many times the task that God sets before us can sometimes seem bigger than we can handle. This is especially true for those of us who are called into full-time ministry, but it applies to many of you listening today, even working in the secular workforce, a school teacher, a businessman, or even a mom working hard to raise her children and feed her family. In Numbers 11, we find Moses in complete breakdown. This is what he said, Numbers 11, verses 11 through 15. But Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat to give to all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." Now, this is one of the most brutally honest prayers you will find anywhere in Scripture. Moses, the great liberator, is asking God to kill him rather than continue in his calling. He feels like he's been set up for failure, burdened with an impossible task, and abandoned to handle it alone. Are you getting this? Moses, the great man who confronted Pharaoh, the man who parted the Red Sea, and now he is asking God to kill him rather than face the difficult task of leading God's people. Let's talk for a few minutes today about calling-related depression, depression that is often associated with leadership. This could be in your business, in your church, or even leading your own home. The anatomy of calling-related depression. The breakdown that Moses faced reveals several patterns that often accompany depression related to feeling overwhelmed by purpose or calling. Number one, unrealistic expectations of self. Moses had fallen into the trap of thinking he was personally responsible for meeting every need of every person under his care. He couldn't figure out where to get meat for 2 million people because he was thinking like it was his job to provide it. The calling to lead had morphed in his mind into a calling to be God. This is a common trap for anyone in helping professions, pastors, doctors, teachers, social workers, missionaries. The desire to serve God through serving others can gradually become a crushing sense of personal responsibility for outcomes that are beyond human control. The second thing that we often face with calling-related depression, and I've been there, friend, it's this: comparison between expectation and reality. Moses had probably imagined that leading God's people would involve grateful followers marching triumphantly toward the Promised Land. Instead, he found himself managing a nation of complainers who grumbled about everything from the food to the leadership to the pace of travel. When our calling doesn't match our expectations, when the ministry is harder than we anticipated, when the people are more difficult than we prepared for, when the impact is smaller than we hoped, depression can set in as we grapple with the gap between vision and reality. The third thing that often accompanies ministry-related depression is this: isolation in leadership. Perhaps you have heard the expression, "It's lonely at the top." Moses felt utterly alone in his responsibility. "I cannot carry all these people by myself," he cried. Leadership, especially spiritual leadership, can be profoundly isolating. Others look to you for strength, answers, and direction. But who do you turn to when you're the one who's falling apart? I remember when I was a chaplain at a hospital. One day the hospital president called me into his office. And when I asked him what I could do for him, he simply said, "I just need to vent, Keith. There is no one else I can share these things with." I realized that phrase was really true. In leadership, it is often lonely at the top. Sometimes the people who we think they have it all made or they are on the pinnacle of success are themselves struggling with the isolation that often accompanies leadership. The fourth thing I have discovered about calling-related depression is this. It often causes some spiritual confusion. Perhaps most painfully, Moses was confused about God's role in his suffering. "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant?" he asked. When our calling becomes overwhelming, we can begin to feel like God has set us up for failure or abandoned us to handle impossible situations alone. I love God's response to what Moses went through. He didn't leave him alone. He called him into shared leadership. God's response to Moses' breakdown is both practical and profound. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone." Numbers 11:16-17. Notice that God doesn't rebuke Moses for his honesty or tell him to have more faith. Instead, he addresses the practical problem. Moses is trying to carry a burden that was designed to be shared. God provides 70 elders to help shoulder the weight of leadership. This reveals something crucial about how God views our limitations. He doesn't see our need for help as weakness. He sees it as wisdom. The burden that's crushing Moses alone becomes manageable when distributed among many shoulders. But God also addresses the immediate complaint about meat by sending quail to feed the people. He shows Moses that the impossible provision is God's responsibility, not Moses. The leader's job is to be faithful in his role, not to be the source of all solutions. Another example in the scripture of a leader who struggled with depression is found in the prophet Jeremiah. While Moses' depression seemed to center on the weight of responsibility, Jeremiah's struggle was more existential. Called to be a prophet to Judah during one of the darkest periods in their history, Jeremiah's job was to deliver messages that no one wanted to hear. Warnings of coming judgment, calls to repentance that fell on deaf ears, prophecies of destruction that made him wildly unpopular. Jeremiah's depression runs like a thread through his entire book. He's often called the weeping prophet because of passages like this. "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people." Jeremiah 9:1. But perhaps his darkest moment comes in chapter 20, after he's been beaten and put in stocks by a priest named Pashur for prophesying, "Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, 'A child is born to you, a son. May that man be like the towns the Lord overthrew without pity. May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon. For he did not kill me in the womb, with my mother as my grave. Her womb enlarged forever. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame?" Jeremiah 20:14-18. This is depression expressed with poetic intensity. Jeremiah wishes he had never been born, curses the day of his birth, and longs for non-existence. It's a level of despair that many people struggling with depression will recognize, the feeling that life itself is a burden too heavy to bear. There is a unique pain that comes with the prophetic calling. Jeremiah's depression highlights some unique aspects of calling-related mental health struggles. Number one, isolation of unwelcome truth. Jeremiah's job was to tell people things they didn't want to hear. He was called to be a truth-teller in a society that preferred comfortable lies. This made him deeply unpopular and profoundly lonely. His truthfulness cost him relationships, community standing, and personal safety. Anyone who feels called to speak truth in situations where truth is unwelcome, whether in family systems, churches, workplaces, or society, can relate to Jeremiah's isolation. The second unique pain that comes with the prophetic calling is this. Number two, seeing what others can't or won't see. Prophets see the long-term consequences of present choices. Jeremiah could see the destruction coming to Jerusalem while others were living in denial. This kind of spiritual insight can be a heavy burden, especially when warnings go unheeded. Then thirdly, another feeling that often accompanies the prophetic calling is this, feeling compelled to continue, despite pain. Earlier in the same chapter where Jeremiah curses his birth, he says, "But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart, like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." Jeremiah 29. This captures one of the most difficult aspects of calling-related depression, feeling unable to stop doing the very thing that's causing pain. Jeremiah can't help but prophesy, even though prophesying makes him miserable. Both Moses and Jeremiah teach us something that Western Christianity often struggles to accept. Faithful obedience to God's calling doesn't guarantee happiness, popularity, or even emotional well-being. Sometimes the most faithful thing we can do is continue walking forward, even when the road is difficult and the burden is heavy. This doesn't mean God wants us to suffer, but it does mean that some callings come with inherent difficulties that can contribute to depression. Recognizing this can actually be liberating. It means our struggle doesn't indicate spiritual failure or lack of faith. There is a sustained power that accompanies the divine calling God puts on our lives. Despite their depression, both Moses and Jeremiah continued in their callings. Moses led Israel to the edge of the Promised Land. Jeremiah faithfully delivered God's messages for over 40 years. Their emotional struggles didn't disqualify them from their purpose. In some ways, their broken hearts made them more effective ministers. This reveals something profound about divine calling. It's not dependent on our emotional state or mental health. God can use us powerfully, even when we're struggling with depression. In fact, sometimes our wounds become the very places where God's healing power flows most freely to others. If you are struggling today as a leader overwhelmed by what God has called you to do, just pray this prayer with me. God, like Moses and Jeremiah, I feel overwhelmed by what you've called me to do. The burden feels too heavy, the task too big, and my resources too small. Help me to trust that you don't call me to do this alone, and give me wisdom to know when to ask for help. When I feel like giving up, remind me that you're not finished with this story yet. Help me to be faithful in my part, while trusting you with the outcomes I can't control.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.